You may not remember May the 10th, 2022. It was a Tuesday, if that helps you any, but you probably don't remember it. There's a guy by the name of Darren Harrison. That's a day he's going to remember for a long time. There was a flight coming back from the Bahamas to Florida. A little Cessna 208. If you've never ridden in a Cessna single engine airplane, and just a few seats on the inside of that little Cessna. Darren was one of two passengers. Pilot was sitting up front. And on the way back from the Bahamas, the pilot had some kind of heart-related issue, and he passed out on the controls. What would you do? What would you do? Darren Harrison climbed up behind the pilot who had fallen down on the controls and pulled the pilot back off of the controls. That would be the first thing you would do after screaming. You would pull him back up off of the controls. And then he pulled the pilot to the back of the plane and he got up in the pilot seat. And I don't know how he did the next thing, but he radioed the tower. And he said to the tower, I've got a serious situation here. My pilot has gone incoherent, and I have no idea how to fly the airplane. What would you be doing? He gets in the pilot seat, he has no idea what to do. Fortunately, there was a flight instructor who happened to be at the tower that day, tower up in Fort Pierce that he's talking to. Flight instructor got on the line with him and talked Darren through the process of flying a plane and then landing a plane, something he had never done. And on that Tuesday afternoon, May the 10th, 2022, he came in off the coast and landed at PBI just right here. I don't know if you remember that local story or not, but if you were Darren, what would you have done? Would you have felt completely helpless to figure out what in the world is going to happen now? Some of you are like, what has that got to do with anything? Some of you have been there, maybe not in an airplane. Some of you have been there. I'll tell you when you've been there. It was the day that you had your first child. The doctor said, congratulations, it's a boy. Congratulations, it's a girl. And just like they did with Jesus we talked about last week, they wrapped your baby up in swaddling cloths, laid him or her, hopefully not in a feeding trough, but laid him in some kind of a bed. And then perhaps you were like Darren Harrison. What do I do now? I got the baby here. What do I do now? I want you to imagine being Joseph and Mary in Luke chapter 2. I want you to imagine being Joseph and Mary, and you've just wrapped up this baby. You've just laid this baby in a feeding trough, and perhaps you're Joseph and Mary, and you're looking at each other, and you're like, what do we do now? You see, when your child was born, you became the parent of one of God's children. When Joseph and Mary had baby Jesus, they became the parents of the Son of God. What do you do? Can you respond like Darren Harrison with a calm mind and figure out, all right, here's what I've got to do? Can you listen to the control tower? Can you listen to the control tower that's going to give you some information on what you need to do in order to bring that child in for a safe landing? This morning, I want you to go to Luke chapter 2. We're just going to look at two things very briefly this morning in Luke chapter 2 that we need to do. And you might think, well, this is just a lesson for parents. It's not just a lesson for parents. We had a lesson a couple months ago when we talked about Zacharias and Elizabeth as the parents of John. And you may remember from that lesson that there were a lot of points that were particularly for parents, but there were points in that that have application to all of us. This year, what we're trying to do is we're trying to spend time walking with Jesus, walking through the text of the life of Jesus. And this is one of those occasions where we're stepping into the life of Jesus very early on, stepping into the life of Jesus. And I want you to see two things that these parents did. Two things that we need to do as parents. And the second point this morning, it's especially for parents, but this first point applies to everybody. What do you need to do? Number one, when you're a parent or when you're just a child of God, you need to devote yourself to the law of the Lord. I want you to look in Luke chapter 2. And I had known this. I had seen a couple of these before this last week, but I did not realize until this last week how much this saturates these verses. The emphasis of the life, you know this, but I want you to see this. The emphasis of the life of Joseph and Mary was on doing the will of God. And you might mark these. I'm going to show you seven times in these verses, seven times that they are devoted to doing what God says. Now, does this have application to parents? Yeah, but it has application to all of us. I want you to see this. Look at Luke chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 21. It says, when 8 days were completed. What's that got to do with anything? God told those Jews on the 8th day to circumcise their baby boys. And when the 8th day was complete, they were counting. Here's 7. Nope, it's 6. Nope, it's only 7. And but when it got to 8, they knew there was something they needed to do that day in order to complete what God wanted them to do. When 8 days were completed for the circumcision of Jesus, verse 21, his name was called Jesus. Why? Why was his name called Jesus? It was the name given by the angel. You remember Luke chapter 1, verse 31 through 35, and Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, where the angel told Joseph and Mary, you name him Jesus. Second time we see, what do they do? They're doing exactly what they were told to do. Why are you naming him Jesus? Because that's the name the angel gave to us. Look down at verse 22. Now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed. What's she paying attention to? We're going to note this as we come through again in just a little while. But she's paying attention to her days and how many days it was since she had the child. And she's counting her days of purification. Why is she doing that? Because the law of Moses told her to do that. She's patterning her life after and according to the law of Moses. Look at verse 23. As it is written in the law of the Lord. Look at verse 24. They came to offer sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord. Time after time. How many times? What? We're from verse 21 down through verse 24, and we've seen 5 times that the emphasis is on they're doing according to as it is written when they've completed what God has told them to do. That's the focus of their life. Look down at verse 27. You want to see a summary? He's going to give two summaries. Verse 27 is the first one. They came by spirit to the temple. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. What are they doing in the temple? According to whatever God told them to do. Look down at verse 39. You see the summary statement again. When they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord. You might go through your Bible and just underline and circle all of those things that I have in capital letters and just connect them in your Bible to understand what was the focus of Joseph and Mary? Doing whatever God wanted them to do. You want to be a good mom? You want to be a good dad? You want to be a good Christian? You want to be a good member of Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ? Our focus needs to be on obeying whatever God tells us to do. And that can only come about if we know what God tells us to do. You can't do it unless you know it, right? In Matthew chapter 22, remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees? You are mistaken. Why are we mistaken? Because you do not know the Scriptures. We've got to know them in order to do them. But in order to know them, we've got to get into them and read them. We've got to get into them and study them. The old King James in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says that we are to study, give diligence, study to show ourselves approved unto God. Do you have any greater desire in this life than to be approved of God? God says, here's how you do it. You get into this book and you study it so that you know how to be approved of God, and then you handle this word aright, the New American Standard would say at the end of verse 15. You handle it right. You do whatever this book tells you to do. Do you find delight? Do you find delight in reading the Word of God? You read through Psalm 119, a chapter that's all devoted to the law of the Lord. And if you read through that, notice how many times he's going to talk about his delight was in what God told him to do. Do you take delight in that? Some people, oh, that's a bunch of do's and don'ts. And the Psalm 119 says it's not do's and don'ts. It's what I love. It's what I want. It's what I delight in. Psalm 119 and verse 97 says, I love thy law, O Lord. It's my meditation all of the day. Is that you? You see, it takes it being in my heart. I've got to plant this word in my heart. But then it takes that heart to then act and to put into practice whatever I've learned that God wants me to do. The best moms in the world, the best moms in the world are the ones who make chocolate chip cookies for their kids and let them eat them at 9 o'clock at night with a big old cup of Coca-Cola, right? No. That's not the best moms in the world. Best moms in the world are the ones who devote themselves to the law of the Lord. The best dads in the world, they're the ones that get their boys out in the backyard and they play catch. And the best dads in the world are the ones who raise their sons to know how to work on a car so they can be a real man. No, the best dads in the world are the ones who devote themselves. Not even talking about the kids yet. We're just talking about the parents. Devote themselves to doing according to all that the law says. And you see, this lesson isn't just for parents. The best Christian in the world is the one who says, I'm not focused on the things of this earth. We talked about that in the Bible class in the auditorium this morning. Colossians chapter 3, setting my mind on things above, not on things of this earth. Is that you? But when you look in Luke chapter 2, for these individuals who are raising God's child, well, that's what you're doing if you're a parent. If you're going to be a parent one day, you're responsible for raising a child of God. Not only do you need to focus on yourself, devoting yourself to the law of the Lord, but the second thing we see about Joseph and Mary is that they devoted their child to the Lord. And what I want you to see, just five quick things about what they did in devoting their child to the Lord here in Luke chapter 2. First thing I want you to see is down in verse 21 again. They started early. How early is too early? How soon is too soon to start with devoting your child to the Lord? You see in verse 21, they did something to him when he was only 8 days old. You get down to verse 22, and again, she's counting the days of her purification. The reason was, back in Leviticus chapter 12, she was to count 7 days. And Leviticus chapter 12, verse 2 and 3 says, after you've counted 7 days, on the 8th day, verse 3, you circumcise him. And then in verse 4, it says, you count 33 more days until you get to the end of those 40 days. And then you go to the temple in order that you might be purified in the eyes of God. She's counting those, but she's starting early. They take Jesus to the temple when he's only 40 days old. You start early with your kids. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 talks about, Paul talks to Timothy, and he says, from childhood, some translations say, better word there is from infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures. An infant? What can an infant know? You'd be surprised what an infant can know, wouldn't you? You watch children play, and they start to understand things after they see them multiple times. You play music for a child. And isn't it interesting how quickly we can learn the words to a song? And we can sing along with that song. How do you learn Scripture? How about the same way? Where you can quote along with the verse because you've heard it so often. But Paul says to Timothy, from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. Can I challenge parents here today? Or would be, or soon to be, or want to be, or one day will be parents, it's never too early to start. You can start reading, you can start singing to your child while they're still in the womb, but you start early. You start early setting those boundaries. You start early setting those expectations. You start early setting the pattern for your child, doing what Ephesians 6 verse 4 says, to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition, or the some translations, in the training and the discipline of the Lord. I remember our girls were maybe preschool, maybe early elementary, kindergarten, first grade perhaps, and they were invited to a sleepover, a slumber party, I guess they're called, whatever. So the girls, hey, can Katie and Kelly come over to the slumber party? Okay. Who's going to be there? That was just a follow-up question. Who's going to be there? Oh, some of their friends from school are going to be there. Okay, good, good. Which friends from school are going to be there? Well, so-and-so and so-and-so. Oh, so there's going to be boys and girls at this particular sleepover. Yeah, but they're just, come on, they're just little. They're not going to do anything. They're just little kids. Okay. They might not do anything. They're just little kids. But if you set the pattern early, if you set the expectations early, you don't have to change it later. We didn't want them having slumber parties with boys when they were teenagers. So guess where that started? Well, it's not going to make a difference. They're not going to do it. You started early, and then it remains consistent. Hopefully. That's the one thing that's difficult about parenting is consistency, right? You just keep it all the way, and then you don't have to change. They don't get so old, and you're like, oh, well, things are different now that you're older. No, we started back over here, and our devotion was to the law of the Lord. Look in verse 21, and look at verse 22. Days of your purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed. They brought Jesus to Jerusalem. I love this at the end of verse 22. They brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Have you got the picture of that? To present him to the Lord, to surrender him to the Lord. Why were they doing that? Was that something they made up? No. Look at it again. According to, this was something that they had learned in Scripture that they needed to do. The last phrase of Exodus 22 and verse 29 says, to give him to the Lord. Parents, have you given your child to the Lord? You're like, yeah, I'd love to. Show me where I can do it. I'll give him back. He can have them all day long. No, no, no. Have you given your child to the Lord? They presented him to the Lord. What a beautiful scene. Do I have 1 Samuel on there? I can't remember. Yeah, I put 1 Samuel chapter 1 up there. It just reminds me of Hannah in the Old Testament, doesn't it? When she prays and says, Lord, if you'll give me a son, you know what I'll do with that son? I'll give him back to you. You know why Hannah prayed that? Not because Samuel was going to be different than any other child on the earth. She prayed that because that child was the same as the Jesus child, is the same as your child. You know how they're all the same? They don't belong to you. Your child doesn't belong to you. Psalm 127 and verse 3 says, children are a heritage from the Lord. They belong to Him. You are raising God's child. It's not your child. God just granted you the opportunity. God granted you the privilege to raise this child for Him. And in order to do that, we've got to give our children back to God. If our children belong to the Lord, what are we doing with them? What are we doing with them for the Lord? If your children belong to the Lord, what are you doing with your children on the Lord's day? If your children belong to the Lord, what do you do with your children on the Lord's day? Is that day all about their Lord, their Master? That word present there literally means that you make them available, that you give them over to the service of another. Do we do that with our children and perhaps even on the Lord's day? Trying to decide if I want to say this. Do you know your children know that this church meets on Sunday nights? Did you know your children know that? Did you know your children know that this church meets on Wednesday nights? And that there's Bible classes for children on Wednesday nights? Do you know your children know that? They've heard that. But if you don't bring your children when the Lord's people are gathering together, I'm just putting this out there for thought. If you don't bring your children when your children know that the Lord's people are gathering, can I ask you what message that's sending to your children? Not a verbal message, you're not saying anything. What nonverbal message is that giving to your children about the Lord's church? That's not David coming down on you. That's a dad talking to other moms and dads. I'm just asking you to think about it. Your child belongs to the Lord. It's not just the Lord's day, it's everything. It's the Lord's work. It's the Lord's life. If they belong to the Lord, what are we doing to present them to the Lord? Number three, you look down at verse 23, and it says, as it is written, we saw that when we were coming through, as it is written, they brought their child to the temple to do what? Because God told them in Exodus chapter 12, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. They didn't just present their child to the Lord. They were going to make their child holy to the Lord. They were setting their child apart to be different from every other child. What did they do on day 8? They circumcised baby Jesus. Well, why did they do that? Because for the Jews, circumcision set them apart from everybody else on the earth. Here was a Jewish boy who was being made different from everybody on the earth before he ever knew it. Before he ever knew that he was being made different, before he was ever knew that he was being made holy for God, his parents were taking steps to make that happen. Here he is, 40 days old, and they're presenting him to the Lord. Why are they doing that? Because they want to get ingrained, even in his young psyche, that you are going to be different. Do we do that with our children? Are our children different from others in the world? We quote to our young people a lot, but we quote to everybody a lot, Romans 12 and verse 2. The Bible talks about that we are to be what? Not conformed to this world. Don't be like everybody else, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're to be different. Are we raising our children to be like everybody else at school, or are we raising our children to be holy like Jesus? Presenting our children to the Lord, devoting them to the Lord, it involves sacrifice, verse 24. So they brought this sacrifice on this occasion, and the sacrifice was twofold. Sacrifice was for Mary's purification, but the sacrifice was also there in order to, and here's an interesting concept for you, in order to redeem Jesus. Redeem? They were there to redeem their son. They were there to present him to the Lord, and at the same time, they were there to redeem, to pay a price, to redeem him from the Lord in order that he might. That's just, to us, that's a strange concept because we're like, man, I'm going to be paying for my children for the rest of their life. Why do I need to redeem them? No, because God was giving them to you as a loan, and I needed to pay the redemption price. For a male child, they had to pay 5 shekels. 20 days worth of working. You think that's not much? Well, what was the purpose of that? This child now belongs to me. It belongs to God. This child belongs to God, but I'm now responsible for this child. And I will make whatever sacrifice I need to make to bring this child up in the way he should go. You know, as Christian parents, there are sacrifices that we've got to make. Sacrifices that our children have to make. And this idea of holy living and being different from everybody else, there will be sacrifices that maybe are not popular to make, that the world will not understand that we make, and yet we do it. We do it in order that we might devote ourselves to the Lord. What's interesting to me in this sacrifice they brought in verse 24 is that what they were told to bring back in Exodus chapter 13, what they were told to bring in verse 13 and 14 of Exodus 13 is they were supposed to bring a lamb as a burnt offering, and then they were supposed to bring a turtle dove as the sin offering, or a pigeon as a sin offering. But God gave this caveat in Exodus chapter 13. If you cannot afford to bring a lamb and a turtle dove or a pigeon, then you can just bring two turtle doves or pigeons. What does that tell you about Mary and Joseph? They didn't have much. But that's not what defined them. What we have in finances or what we don't have in finances, that doesn't define us as a family. What ought to define us as a family is how devoted are we to the Lord. And we won't take time to develop this last point, but if we're going to devote our children to the Lord, we need to surround them with godly influences. The rest of this section, from verse 25 down through verse 40, you have this incredible scene where they're in the temple complex, and there's Simeon. There's what we believe to be an older man, although it doesn't tell us his age. There's Simeon, who takes baby. Can you imagine some strange older guy coming up to you and taking your 40-day-old baby out of your arms? I mean, you get the picture here. But he takes Jesus out of her arms, and he blesses this, takes him up in his arms and blesses the child, praises the child, and says, this child's going to do great things for the Lord. You know what your children need? They need people in their circle who praise them for what they do in the church. They need people in their circle who tell them, like Simeon did, you're going to do great things for the Lord. We build our kids up. You're going to be a great astronomer. You're going to be a great astrologer. You're a great doctor. You're going to be a great this. How about you're going to be a great Christian? How about you're going to be a great faithful child of God? You're going to do wonders for the Lord. That's the kind of people Jesus had from the beginning. That's the kind of people your children need. They need people like Anna, who came along, and it says about Anna, she, and it may be a little bit hyperbole, it says she never left the temple. She was there all the time. Night and day, she was serving the Lord there. Your children need people in their life who are always busy in the church, who are always active in doing something, and to have that kind of influence around them and to get that in their life early on. Darren Harrison, just on a regular old flight back from the Bahamas, probably reading a book, maybe playing on his phone. I don't know what he was doing. The story didn't tell us. And yet, he gets on the radio and he says, I've got a serious situation here. I don't know how to fly this plane. Some of us became parents. We were like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Come to find out, Darren had a little bit of an idea of what to do because he had watched other people do it. As parents, we have a little bit of an idea of what to do, right? Because we've watched other people do it. But for Darren and for parents, it's a whole lot different when it's actually you that's doing it. May God help us to first devote ourselves to the law of the Lord and then devote our kids. Can I ask you today where you are in your relationship with God? Have you given your life to Him? Have you followed and done according to what? Take those same phrases we saw in Luke chapter 2. Have you done according to what is written in this book? This book tells us we need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. With that faith in our heart, we need to look at the sin that we have in the sin that we're committing against what God wants us to do and say, hang on a second, I don't want to keep doing that. I want to stop doing what's wrong. I want to start doing what's right. I want to give my life to the Lord and become one of His children. Is that where you are today? You ready to give your life to Him? If you are, you can do according to, as it is written in this book, confess the faith that's in your heart. And how about today? Be the day that you're baptized into Christ. Romans 6 and verse 3 says that's the only way that you get into Christ is to be baptized into Him. there to have the forgiveness of every sin you've committed, to be added by the Lord to His church, to allow the Lord to register your name in heaven as one of His children. And then all He asks you to do, devote yourself to Him. Live faithfully to Him. Do your best for Him so that you can be like that man in Matthew chapter 25 who Jesus say would hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Are you where you need to be? If you need to get your life right with the Lord, why don't you come right now as together we stand and sing.